Hey everybody, welcome to Omaha Talks, episode 7. Today, we sit down with Omaha creative, not native, but creative, Jamal Chin. I'm your co-host, Parker Steele, in with co-host...
Brandon Herbal.
Welcome to the show, Jamal. Say what's up.
How you guys doing, man? Thank you for having me. Like, I'm still shocked, so yeah. I appreciate it.
We brought Jamal in today. He's good friends with Brandon. They've done some work together over the last couple of years.
Ooh, longer than that.
Yeah, when did you guys meet? When and how?
Well, I'll let him explain how, but I think it's been about 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah, I would about that. I was in school in Lincoln, so like 2008, 2009, I was in Lincoln.
In grad school.
Yep. So, because I had graduated from school down in Doane, down in Crete, then I moved to Lincoln. And then I had met Steve Gordon, and then from there, he had introduced me to Brandon and the River City Social Club that was in the bottom of Liquid Courage.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, River City.
Yeah. Yeah, River City Social Club.
I stopped in there quite a bit.
Yeah.
I've still got some River City gear laying around.
Yeah, a lot of us do.
Yeah. I still got tees, man.
Yeah.
I still got tees, but yeah, and they used to do like this Friday night, I don't remember what they called it, but there was like a Friday night hangout, and so that's when I really started... getting into the scene here in Omaha from Lincoln, and so that's kind of how I met him.
Were you still living in Lincoln?
Yeah. So I've only been living in Omaha for almost, it'll be 2 years, I think, this spring.
Okay.
But yeah, so I was still in Lincoln when I first met him, just kind of trying to find people that were doing cool stuff. And
right.
So yeah.
It's hard to find like-minded individuals in Omaha.
Right. I mean... And especially, like, being where I was at, I was, like, I was just trying to find people in the state, let alone, just in Lincoln specifically. So, yeah, it was definitely not easy trying to find
someone. I think what we were doing, like, with River City and, like, what you were doing with hers and Steve was doing with, like, Ridiculous and all of that stuff is streetwear was still, it was big, big thing for a decade at that point, like, out on the coast, but, here, nobody knew what the fuck Supreme was or anything at that point. And we just had our fingers on the pulse and we're trying to do that. So we had interest in it, but nobody knew what the fuck we were doing. And then, of course, about 6 months after River City closes, Zoomies opens up and then it opens up, your general population of, Lincoln and Omaha to it. But yeah, so we were all doing that stuff kind of early on before it was actually a thing.
So, yeah, kind of in the streetwear, the fashion, the tees design, I was trying to do my own brand, and they were doing tees, and so I was trying to figure out other people and ended up actually getting some of the tees that I'd done printed up here when they had the office in the Mastercraft building and all that. So, yeah, we've done some things together for sure.
So you've met Ben Allen.
Yeah. Definitely have met Ben. Yes.
We had him here the other night, Ben Allen, good friend of ours from back in the day. I played in a couple of bands with Ben, and... God, we wanted to put him on the podcast so bad. He had Brandon and I just cracking up.
Yeah,
but you put a microphone in front of that dude and it would just, it'd be done,
Yeah. But like. No, and Jamal knows him pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
He's worked with him and printed with him several times over the years. So
I had a Facebook memory pop up the other day and it was a picture of Ben Allen in that house that they used to live on Capitol Street, right in Dundee. And Ben is a hunter. So he always had, like, weird meats laying around that he had killed with his hands or with a gun. We don't know. And
Could be either one.
Yeah. And, like, he introduced me to some pretty cool stuff. Like, he cooked me some quail one night that was just delicious. And pickled elk heart. Amazing. Okay. Really good. But what was not good were the deer ribs that we made.
I think I was there for that.
Were you there for the deer ribs?
I remember eating something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it wasn't very good. It was like chewing on a shoe that had bones in it. Like, and there was nothing in it. Like, there was no meat whatsoever. It was just this fat, but he wouldn't give up on it. He just kept going.
Gotta try it.
My God. It was horrendous. But anyway, Ben Allen, we love you.
Ben's a good dude, man.
We love you, Ben. So you guys meet together. You start hanging out at River City Social. When did you guys actually start working on stuff together, and what was it?
I think it was pre-River City that we started working together, but then I was kind of doing that around the same time. I remember Make Believe was kind of going, well, I had the print shop at Mastercraft, and then literally, like, in between that, I was then opening up that shop. So then you would come up for Speakeasy Fridays, and we would just hang out. And Speakeasy Friday was awesome. It was like designers, creatives, like, I mean, just kind of the whole plethora, like the whole gamut of people just kind of coming to hang out and talk about what you're doing, talk about the industry. And
it was like menswear too. Like, we were all talking about, like, you know, it was, so from sneakers to the tees to, you know, our jeans and all, you know, so it was like
raw denim.
Yeah, raw denim was the thing. Yeah, so everybody was kind of talking about the same thing. And then you started getting these other people that worked at different companies that, like, you know, you kind of like this stuff too. And so I had met some people, again, like, just being not from Nebraska, from the area, that were like-minded and were all interested in the same thing. So it was kind of like we started working together, and then also, like, it started to be a community, and that's kind of where we grew, and, you know, kind of more of a friendship, you know, outside of the...
Have a couple drinks.
Right, yeah.
Shooting the
right.
shit. I don't know why I never went to one of those things.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have had much to talk about as far as creative.
But you didn't have to. I mean, it was just cool teas too as well.
Well, so, really, yeah. I mean, really the purpose of it was just to, like, for one, we got to take the grill out back, and we were grilling, like, hamburgers and drinking beer, and really just a reason to get people together and shoot the shit. It just so happened because we were creatives that then other creatives started coming. I mean, some nights we'd have 30, 40 people there. It was, like, popping off at some point.
And what a perfect spot for that, too. The basement of... tattoo studio. Yep. You know what I mean? Like,
it was good times. I definitely, there's so many memories. There's so many great people like Jamal that I've met from those times that, like, I still talk to him to the day.
I bought so many Christmas presents from you.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of Christmas presents came from River City. So what, you know, Jamal, I have to ask, what about, and this is a big question, you can answer it with this however you like, but you know, you've been in Omaha for 2 years.
Yep.
You've lived all over the place.
Yeah.
What are some things about Omaha that are keeping you here right now, outside of, you know, work?
Yeah. That's a good question, man, because I get it all the time, you know, because my last city I was in Austin, and to come to Omaha, people are like, you're moving back to Nebraska? And I'm just like, but no, I think for Omaha specifically, it was always kind of a big city in my eyes when I was living in Lincoln. Everybody talked about moving to Omaha. But for me, just on the outside looking in, just looking at the prairie, Silicon Prairie, as you say, looking at the landscape, I saw opportunity.
Yeah.
Where others might have been like, you know, you can't do anything there. I looked at it as like, man, it's a growing hub. There's a lot of talk about, you know, movement from these big hubs into the middle of the map.
Sure.
And I had already been there and had ties and my girlfriend at the time, you know. So there's so many different things that kind of said, you know, that's where you kind of should be. But a lot of it was just the opportunity to kind of stand out and do some things that, you know, you may not have seen in that area. And so that was really a key driver for me to come back and say, hey, I want to be a part of this area that's growing and developing. And they're looking for people like that to say, hey, we want to grow and do some more creative things. And so...
And would you agree, would both you guys agree, it's not so much a big fish in a small pond as much as it's not a small fish in a big pond? Does that make sense? Like, it's not like you're swarmed with competition, but you're also not... like the only people doing
right, exactly.
You know, so it's kind of got that perfect setting. I know I kind of worded that.
Well, no, but I mean, like, him being in Austin and then, like, me previously living in Seattle, I mean, shit, that's where Amazon, Microsoft, like, there's so many big companies out there.
Yeah.
But, like, here, it's like there are really smart people doing cool things and starting companies that are making hundreds of millions or, you know, billions of dollars. There's a lot of money here. And not that it's about, like, you know, solely about, like, the hustle of making the money or whatever, but there's just a lot of... It's a small city with a lot of money to allow for the economy here to grow and kind of nurture and help people like us get, you know, get where we need to get or do things that, like, if you're in San Francisco or Seattle or LA or Austin or wherever, you're one of... you know, 2 million people that are trying to do the same thing, where we're one of 10,000, you know, it narrows it down a little bit to make it easier.
And I think that that would definitely correlate to music in a sense that, you know, it's not big enough that it's cutthroat, you know, it's small enough that you could see this or you could see that as far as genre or whatever, but it's just the right size that it's still a community.
Yeah.
You know, and people are still talking to each other and going to each other's shows. I mean, that's what I experience. Community's,
I think, a good way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of community aspect to it, you know, like people really wanted to help you, you know, succeed. And that was one thing that I noticed too, is like when I was, you know, building the clothing brand and doing the different things and little pop-ups that we had done, is that if I wanted to have a space and it was always easier to get access and I had to jump through a lot of hoops. Yeah. But like in Austin, to try to do that, you had to know somebody. Then it's like, oh, how, you know, okay, what are the numbers on this check?
Who's this guy?
You know, right? Yeah. And that kind of thing is like, well, okay, how many zeros are you putting on that check?
Right.
Maybe we can talk kind of thing. So it was
just
a little bit different.
Just greasing palms to get out there. Like,
yeah,
it kind of takes away from what you're doing, though. You know, like, and I've never played in a band in Austin, but I can't imagine being a musician in Austin, Texas, and being like, hey, look at us. Well, you know, because it's a music town.
Yeah.
You know?
So
not that Omaha isn't, but it's just densely populated with art and music.
Yep.
I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a little bit, just from like trying to do your own, like, you know, it may as a band, like trying to do a gig may not be, if there's another like car and they're looking for bands.
Right.
You know, you have some of those, but I'm looking at it as like, we're trying to throw our own events and, you mm-hmm. know, from the top down, have control of a night. And that was a little bit more of a struggle to kind of do if you already didn't have an in or somebody didn't know you. Coming to Omaha and trying to do some of those things, or just Nebraska in general, you're thinking a little bit outside the box, but if you had a clear plan, people are like, okay.
It's a little sure. more of a, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch
yeah,
yours.
Right,
they're
yep.
very,
right.
Like, you're helping them out because people are going to come to their place of business with also, like, getting the word out about what you're doing. So, like, yeah. People are very, a little more adamant to help each other, I think. Yeah.
Let's talk about the reaction about when you tell people that you're moving back to Nebraska, because I got that a couple times.
Yeah.
Because I, what we were talking about before the podcast, Jamal went to high school in Denver, and I lived in Fort Collins, not once, but twice. And both times when I came back, Coloradoans who are sure that they live on the island of cool in the world, you know, they're like, why would you go anywhere else? It's like, it's great here, but there's other shit out there, you know.
Right.
But the reaction of you're going back there,
that's always the, is it there?
What, like, is there a barn? Yeah. You're going to sleep next to some cows? Like, no, it's a metropolitan city, like, I take the bus to work, whatever.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Jamal, but did you come to Omaha almost directly from the UK? Because you, or what were you?
Yes. So, yeah, well, almost. So I, when I was in Austin, I'd got a gig and it took me as part of it. We're starting a new office. They're a UK based company. So they said, the first thing you got to do is, you got your passport. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, you got to come live in, right outside of London, actually Reading, United Kingdom. And so it was literally like a new age real world, because I got hired, went, did my interview, everything, you know, and then they're like, okay, you're gonna meet. So I got off the plane, had the guy holding the sign with my name, and I'm like, oh goodness, this can't be real life. And so I get in the car.
That happened to me when I was a UK too. Yeah,
they like do the driver service is like a thing. So I just felt super important. But anyway, like, got off the plane, went to my house, and outside of like a couple of Facebook messages, I had never met the four other people that I was gonna, well, three other people I was gonna be living with.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, so literally showed up. I was one of those, like, surreal moments, because they get there and have the address, and obviously it's different in, you know, a different country. So I was across the street. They were on the corner. I'm across the street, and I'm just waiting there, knocking on the door, and nobody answers, and I sit there, and, like, finally get into, like, my phone, and started sending the message, and they're like, are you here? Where? I was like, yeah, I'm here. They're like, we don't see you. Like, you're not knocking on the right door. And then they finally came out, and they're like down the street. And I'm like, oh. So get in there, you know, hugs and Americans, you know.
Yeah.
But
they were all American?
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
One, they already had all lived in Austin. Two of them were pretty much living in Texas already.
Okay.
My one boy, Zach, he was from Baltimore originally. And then the other girl, she had just came from, like, the University of Illinois, and she had only been in Austin for a couple months, too. So it was like, we all now are living in this house together and living and working in a different country for the next 3-4 months as we prepare to launch an office in Austin.
Okay, so you were east of London, you said?
Yeah.
And Brandon, you were in
Sheffield,
northern England, right?
I don't remember the location, honestly.
I'm pretty sure it's northern England.
Yeah.
But I knew a guy from Sheffield once, and that accent is tricky. Like, it's like borderline Scottish.
Dude, and
they're
passionate about it, too. Oh, yeah. Like, right. Don't you say I'm from this area.
Right,
like,
right. Know, so like, regional, because their country is as big as Texas. Yeah. Not even, maybe.
I will say there's one thing that I wish I could... I mean, I haven't been there so long now, but I should have brought back. But they said proper. Everything is proper.
Yeah, I remember you telling
me
that.
A proper tea, a proper pub lunch, is proper everything. That's like something we should bring back.
I like that, because it's like, you like last night, you had a proper dinner.
Yeah,
you did have a proper dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
A proper $170 dinner, absolutely.
Yeah, they were just talking about proper everything, and I was just like, that's pretty dope. Yeah. I should bring that back, but yeah.
What a cool accent.
It's kind of funny that my love for it came from like watching BBC shows during college.
Yeah.
And then Brandon had went and we had talked and I thought it was the coolest thing. And my mom was military, so she had went before too. So I've always had this kind of back of my mind infatuation with British and British accents.
Yeah.
And properness.
And then you hear that Cockney shit. That is insane.
That's one of the things. In their first new day, they gave us the Cockney book and to have and stuff. It's kind of a joke, but also like these will maybe help you understand some people.
You might get in a cab. did that? You ever experience that? Let's talk about England a little bit because this fascinates me. I love it.
What about fish and chips? Did you ever have
a proper
fish and chips?
I did have a proper fish and chips. It was always hard. So it's like fish and chips or mushy peas. Like, I don't know what that was like about.
But mushy peas.
Like, literally, that was a thing. Mushy peas. Everywhere, okay. Right? Okay. So, the one thing, I love fish and chips, but it was like two different ones. It's either you're going into an actual proper restaurant, sitting down, having a big fish and chips, or you're going to the kebab shop on the
end. I went to the kebab shops. And they were like
fish
in
the corner.
Great. I was not really that impressed. It was almost like the breading was like wet. And like,
yeah.
It was just like not very good. Like, I don't know. The whole time I was there, and like, Max, love him. Still talk to him. You know, shout out to Max. I know you're not listening to this, but that guy was great. But I did not get to experience a ton of food because he was a vegan. So I ate vegan food at dinner at his place, but I would go out for lunch at work while I was there and like try to find something. And I mean, the food was just so bland.
Yeah. You probably had some good Indian food though.
Indian food. They did have some like Vietnamese food, and then Jamaican like jerk stuff, at least in that area, was really big. They were really into like Jamaican jerk, like chicken and stuff like that. So there was good food, but it was their actual like native like England food is just so bland and terrible, and like it is that's the worst.
I've had to say too, like it was just, I just felt there was like a lack of seasoning or something.
No flavor. Yeah.
You ask for hot sauce and they look at you like you just
pulled
a gun on them or something. What were the base reactions, like, outside of the people that you worked with, and you would go somewhere, like, you went to a pub, or you go somewhere, like, and they'd be like, oh, you're American. Yeah. Like, was there a lot of that?
So, a lot of that, and then they were like, okay, you're from the States. They already knew that. So, they wouldn't say, like, the U.S., whatever. It's like, oh, you're from the States.
Right.
Every time. So, it's like, oh, you're from the States. Maybe whereabouts. So, they say, Texas. Oh, you're from Texas.
Right. That's real.
You know what I mean? Like, and so, they just... Everything's bigger in Texas, and I was a transplant to Texas too, so I really didn't. I was like, yeah, I'm from Texas.
So.
All right.
Like,
cool.
Where's your hat?
Did
you ride a horse?
The cowboy hats and stuff. But you know, on the reverse side of that, there was like a little. It literally was called your local market. Like on the corner, it was like your local market. It's like, where are you going to store? Your local market? No, like, what is it? That's what the name was. It
sure.
Blew my mind. But I walked in one day and it was a different dude. And so the melting pot, I never really knew about all the different cultures that were in the melting pot.
Sure.
He's talking about the Caribbean jerk. But I walked in this shop and these guys were from Turkey. Okay. But they loved everything American, hip hop, everything. You know what I mean? And he goes, he's like, oh, where you made? You from Texas? I was like, yeah. He said, oh, you probably got a big gun then. I'm like,
that's what I'm talking about.
You know, I was just like,
I love that.
I was like, no, I don't have it. He's like, yeah, all Texans have guns, right? Big guns. I was like, not
we've got
I.
Guns, we've got ranches,
right.
We ride horses to work every day, shoot in the air on the birthday. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny. See, I was thinking about this the other day because I watch a lot of British TV too, and like, of course, love a lot of English rock and roll and Parker is an English name.
Okay.
So somewhere along the line they came over. I don't claim that. Because I can't stand when people are like, oh, I'm English. Like, no, you're fucking...
I don't know any of what
you're
I am.
Fucking American. Yeah. Shut up. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Your three me's have ruined it.
But, so, the term yank oh, he's a Yank. You know, like you hear that on TV, like, oh, the Yank is here, like, da da da. And I started thinking to myself the other day, I'm like, is that derogatory? Maybe a little bit. Is it?
I don't know. You mean them, like, talking shit on? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, is the Yankee? Wasn't that a general term maybe?
I don't know. Could it maybe have a little snide tone to it? I don't know. I'm just bringing it up. I was thinking about it the other day. Maybe you have experienced that.
I remember. I didn't really experience anything when I was there as far as like people even asking about. Well, so the only weird like American thing is that on the last night that I was there, they took me to a restaurant in Sheffield that was a American restaurant.
Yeah.
Because it served like Budweiser and had barbecue. Like, it was terrible, like food. You know? But it was just funny because they were like trying to be American by having like American things. But like, that's otherwise, nobody really like said anything, you know, crazy. Yeah. Like,
no, I always tried.
Probably even knew what Nebraska was, honestly.
Some people knew, like, people always knew it would know Omaha, though. Like, so when you talk about Nebraska, like, either they would know two things if you said Nebraska. They would know about the university somehow, football, University of Nebraska, they've heard about it. Or, oh, I've done business in Omaha. Or I traveled and I stopped in Omaha one time.
Pacific.
Yeah, something like that. So that was, like, the two things, or they had no clue where the heck it was. Right. You know, kind of thing. But the only American thing, so a couple, like, the one, we were there for 4th of July, which was an experience, right?
Okay.
they used to say, like, 4th of July, the only time that the British are quiet and then the only people making noise on that day are the you could tell they're who American on that day.
Right.
It's the only people making noise.
The expats. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
So that's what they always used to say, and they're like, oh, yep, because we had like a little barbecue outside. Right. And we lived on like this water, like there was like a waterway behind us. The Thames River was right behind us. And
the Thames River.
Yeah, exactly. They would do bowls on the other side. That's too.
Funny. You guys were probably the only one on the block. So, barbecue and shit.
Super Texas Cowboys. So my roommate was like 6'4", used to wear the big bucket hat too, because he was just East Coast Cowboy, we was calling. But he, because he loved Wu-Tang as well, so it was kind of crazy. But he flew the American flag. We had the British one too. But he flew it up there that same day, so it's like 7 a.m., it's bright, and I go outside, and boom, the flag's just up there. And I was just like, and we had all this 4th of July stuff, because our roommate, her mom, sent her a box of 4th of July stuff, so we had the napkins, the paper plates, the cups, and so we had our own little 4th of July party there, so that was pretty interesting.
I would have loved to have seen the faces of the neighbors.
No fireworks. We couldn't get our hands on any fireworks.
I'm picturing the four of you in like American flag shorts and like tank tops and just making a scene.
I had that. I had the one flag T-shirt. It was from it was one of the ones that I, when I was getting samples and stuff from the brand, I got like a 2X just. They did like an American flag. It was just like a Stars and Stripes tee, and I had that out there, and that's rocked for like 3 days straight.
Yanks making noise.
So that's so funny. It was good times, man. But yeah.
So how long were you both over there?
I was there for a month.
Yeah.
And I hated it.
Yeah.
My daughter was about to turn one at the point.
I
felt like I was missing out. I got real bummed. But you're probably having
the Yeah, no, I was loving it, man. But yeah, I was out there for about 3-4 months. Because again, day job, but on the weekends, was going into London, traveling. So yeah, I liked it just because I was able to do some things that I probably would have probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to do so easily. So yeah, I was enjoyable, but it was like, I did miss, again, the food was probably the biggest key thing, because I was missing just regular food, and like, it was even hard grocery shopping, like, a lot of the stuff that they allow here doesn't allow the shelves over there, so it was just, but yeah, so about 4 months, I would say.
God, we're so spoiled with food.
Oh, yes.
God.
So, when you left and came back, did you come back to Texas?
No, yep, so I came back to Austin, finished out that year, because like we came back to the UK for our Christmas party, which was crazy. And then February of 16, I think it was, is when I came. 16, 17, yeah, I think it was 16 is when I came back to Omaha.
Okay.
So
cool.
Or back to Nebraska, I should say. But yeah. So yeah, I went to Austin for a couple months, you know, got in and moved right back up north. And then it was right before that last big snowstorm that we had. That had I got there that weekend right before that hit, and then it hit, and then it was, like, shut down.
Was
like,
the year was that?
It was, like, February of 16 there.
Okay. Yeah. Man, there haven't been very many big ones lately. No, that was probably weak.
Yeah.
Real weak. How's that for you? I mean, you lived in Denver.
Yeah.
So you got some inclement weather under your belt. You've lived through that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have some friends from the South, and they were just like, oh, God, that I go to school with. And they were just so miserable. Like, they walk into class, and I'm like, dude, it's 30 degrees out. Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah. I think the wind is the only thing that you can't get used to. Like, sure. It's like, oh, you're from Denver and all. It's like, man, it's different when you're...
Mountains walking.
You know, 5,000 feet, you know, up in the, you know...
Yeah.
Elevation or whatnot. But, you know, the sun was a lot closer. But here, it's just kind of when that wind picks up, there's just nothing blocking it, man, and that's hard to get used to.
And it's ruthless. It almost seems like it's on purpose. Like, there's somebody just like, hey, what's up? You know, like you're pumping gas. Like,
oh, gas is the worst. Oh, that's the last thing I want to do, but you know you need it.
Yeah.
So moving back to Omaha, weekend leaders, let's talk about that. So,
through grad school, it kind of weekend leaders. So it's weekend leaders, and but we spell it WKNDLDRS. So we take out all the vowels. And it was kind of this unique project that I worked on when I was in grad school. It was a youth leadership camp. And then from there, I kind of wanted to just turn it into a brand, just kind of like just kind of a motivation, because that's literally what it was we took out the vows to kind of help take away the barriers of, you know, chasing dreams and passions, because I had so many friends at that time, like, living for the weekend and Friday through Sunday, and then miserable about work, and I was trying to build things and build this brand in a different company, but I was doing things. As soon as I didn't have anything that I had to do, I was working on what I wanted to be working on, stuff that I was passionate about. And that was a Monday, a Tuesday night, a Wednesday.
Nights and weekends.
Yeah, nights and weekends. Anytime that was free time with my time, I worked on my projects. And so that's what I said, you know, weekend leaders. And so that's kind of where it stemmed from. And from there, it's just kind of grown into this brand that we've been able to create under. And so we've done some events. We've done some, like, pop-up shows. Do a house party.
I'm not trying to throw this out there, but it's like not even a brand. Like, you've got a set of, like, musicians and artists and fellow people that just, it's like a lifestyle almost.
I don't know.
I mean, not a lot of people know what it is, you know, but the people that do know what it is, like, live by it. Rep it.
And that's kind of what we're trying to be. It's more of not like, you feel like it's something that that can empower you to do whatever it is that you want to do, because that's what it's about. So, like, for me, it was just being, you know, about business, being creative, started doing some photography and some videos. And then, you know, Mike is a crazy dope photographer, visual communicator, you know, fashion, all these different things that he did. And then we had Todd, who was a musician. So Todd Zach Jr., crazy R&B soul, neo soul artist, songwriter that was here in Omaha. And so it was, you know, him doing the music. And then we had Christian, who was a crazy, a director, videographer, just overall creative person through you know, so many different avenues. And then we had Moses, who was a dancer, and then also creative. He was our model for all of our t-shirts and everything like that. So it was all five of us kind of collectively bringing our different skill sets to just create and do different things. And it started to become this kind of movement to other people that are like, oh, we want to join, and how can I join? How can I be a part? It's just,
and
like,
a few of them have moved, but still.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody's kind of, you know, spreading out. So Todd's in Vegas and LA now. Same with Christian. Mike is getting ready to finish school, so he probably will get out of here. Moses is from the Bay Area, so he's been back and forth. But, you know, so everybody's looking to expand their wings and grow and do the different things that they want to do. But it was a way for us being here in Omaha to still create and do the things that we saw as we traveled, and to stay creative. And then, you know, we did some different things on the side as well. But it was really just an ideology is what one
there
of my professors talked about, because essentially the average American, this is what, you know, stats say, the average American, right, works 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
After work, they drive to a fast food restaurant. Then they go home and watch 2 to 3 hours of TV and go to sleep and repeat.
Do it all over again.
And that's life.
Yeah.
And Weekend Leaders was kind of that moniker. There's like, do more. There's more to it. There's something that drives you inside internally that you want to be doing or passionate about. And then it's like, okay, figure that out and do that. Sure. And when you do that, you're a weakened leader, and it is, you know, whatever it is, building your own brand kind of thing. So it kind of started off with this crazy idea, and then it grew into that. And, you know, I've gotten to share my message and story all over Omaha, Creative Mornings. I spoke at Meet the Pros, which was like put on by the American Advertising Federation. Got to speak, you know, about leadership development and how to build your own brand from scratch to a bunch of advertising and design students last year. So it's been very cool to this idea and this concept and ideology that's kind of grown and been able to help other people do whatever it is that they want to do.
So where can people find a lot of this stuff if they want to get involved, or if they just want to check it out? Like, where would you point them?
So right now, so that's what we've been trying to figure out, because again, I didn't really have an beyond just doing it. Mm-hmm. So right now it's just my website, jamalchin.com. That's the easiest way. We have weekendleaders.com. So it's WKNDLDRS.com. So weekendleaders. So all the social medias, like we have a Tumblr page, we have an IG. But we've been really just trying to figure out what are we going to do next.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the easiest way. But yeah, we're, you know, use the hashtag Weekend Leaders. We always use that. And we have that thread that goes to our website. So anybody that uses the hashtag WKNDLDRS, hashtag Weekend Leaders on IG, on Instagram, it pulls into a feed on our website.
Okay.
And it's just a constant scroll. Because again, it was just, like I said, it's an ideology. So we want people, it's like, oh, I'm a photographer, but I'm working 3 a.m. on a, you know, Wednesday morning trying to get these photos done because this is what I love, I'm passionate about. He hashtags Weekend Leaders, it kind of goes in that thread. So we see it in the future as kind of being a platform to be creative, and we got some other things that we want to do as too. But yeah, that's the easiest way right now to kind of be involved. But
that's cool as hell, man. That's I love it. I love to see, like, and I mean, it kind of sounds like the basis of how you guys met each other, and even with, like, River City, of just, like, having that hub where it's like, I do this, you do that, but we want to do something outside of leaving my job, you know, at the office, going to Wendy's, watching, you know, fucking Netflix, Top Chef, until you pass out, you know, like, which I've, God, you know, it's been... I'm a creative person myself and have always worked in restaurants and have always done this. And then it was just like all my energy outside of that was, how do I do something, you know, that isn't soul killing. Right. Not that what I was doing was soul killing, but it's not soul fulfilling. You know what I mean?
As much as you love a job, and I mean, the last 6 years, I've loved my jobs and where I've worked, but it's still a job, you know, it's still
right.
There's still expectations, and it's not the thing that you just want to do on your own. So, yeah, I mean, there's 24 hours in the day. That's only, you know, 7 to 8 hours of them. You know, make the most out of the, you know, the rest of it.
We all got the same 24 hours as Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly.
But it all breeds from...
Wow.
yeah.
Wow.
But...
I've never heard that before. Is that yours?
No, that's just... Oh. That's a Twitterverse right there.
Okay, yeah.
But no, it's... that was a thing for a long time, but... It's all on the basis of entrepreneurship, too, because, again, it all rooted from that, you know, leadership and development and entrepreneurship. But I realized if I wanted to talk to like, my homies and the young cats, like, they don't want to hear about, oh, you know, self-development and all that. So we built this brand. It's cool. It's like, man, at least what you're doing, it's cool.
Right.
But then we still talk to them about that. Like, figure it is, whatever it is. And for, let me preface this, not for everybody. Sure. Some people are totally comfortable with that lifestyle of just, like, I want to do this, and that's it. That's cool. It's not built for everybody.
Sure.
But those that have that passion, it's already out there. We just kind of, like, put a finger on it and called it something, right?
Yeah.
But there's already people out there feeling that, and we just want to help kind of be that one motivation. And then if you want to talk and say, hey, man, I want to do this and that, and I'm an artist, and I'd love to do more of it, boom, let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's figure out what it is. You want to do a show? You don't know how to start? Here, I can help you out. So that's kind of what it's been right now, is, like, kind of almost like not a creative consultant, but, you know, I've gotten people and messages from people about, like, hey, I got this and I have that and I would like to do that. Right.
Yeah.
And so I dove into Omaha and figured out spaces and different shows and different people. And, but yeah, that's just what I've been trying to do, is reach out to other like-minded people and just know that, like, man, if you have a venue or something and have an idea, I want to help you create that, whether it's through, you know, organizing it, you know, through some photos, videographer, just volunteering.
And so you guys have thrown some events. You've done, like, a sneaker con.
So the sneaker events have been happening for a couple years. So that's the one thing we did at Ralston Arena. So a couple hundred kids come through. People set up booths. So buy, sell, and trade sneakers. Yeezys. Everybody's like, they got Yeezys? Like, yeah, we had tons of Yeezys there. So
how many fake Yeezys?
Nah, no fake. No. we have some people that we really trust in the community that try to be those voice of reason to try to keep the fakes aside because nobody wants to do that. But,
right.
So we've done the sneaker events. Some other events that some of the group has done, but the one specifically, Week in Leaders Drev, we did a local showcase at the Bay in Lincoln, but we had Todd Zach perform as well as some other local artists that we had found locally to the area, whether it be in Omaha and in Lincoln, that we had come. So like Hakeem, we had Petey.
Both
was there. Mm-hmm. I forgot. Yeah. So Both was there, which is really crazy that they come, that they made it, because it was like 70 degrees on that day, but we still had a ton of fun in Lincoln. So we did that show. And then our biggest thing that we kind of, like, our claim is, like, we did a house party in Omaha, and we kept it all off of social media. So we had people give us emails, and we built a secret kind of website that you had to kind of know one of us. And then you also had to check your emails because you had to RSVP and all that. We just tried to do something differently. But we got this crazy house in North Omaha in the hills. It was this architect who built onto this house, and it was like 5 levels. It was nationally recognized by the Architectural Society, Home and Garden TV, Omaha Magazine. Every publication home is like giving an award to this home, and it was first built by an architect, and then now it's owned by another architect. He put it on Airbnb, and so we're like, huh?
Cha-ching.
So you're right. So
and you guys can go see this house on which website did you show? It was Omaha Magazine.
Yeah, Omaha Magazine. It was from like 2016.
Go look at it.
It's Woodland Wonder. So if you Google Woodland Wonder Omaha, it will pop up the first couple articles of this house.
This house is ridiculous.
Yeah, and so
inside and out.
It was inside and out. So the crazy thing about it, so we were throwing a party, right? We couldn't get into it until the day of. So we planned it to the T. As soon as he gave us keys and gave us the okay, they left. We brought everything in, the DJ equipment, the speaker. We had the booze on the table. We set up a cereal bar. We had, you know, milk and almond milk for those that, you know, are kind of worried about that thing. And there were swings in this house, ping pong tables. It was just, it was beautiful. It was a crazy night. And so, yeah.
Climbing wall.
Yeah, there was a climbing wall in the house.
Which just makes me so nervous, man.
I told people, I was just like, how about you stay away from that, especially after you've been drinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a crazy house, and so we had a great time. You know, nothing happened, and then we cleaned up the next day, ordered some food, and we all hung out, you know. But
it was a success.
Yeah, it was a success, and to do it, and people were like, afterwards, there were so many people that we told about the party, and they didn't really trust us and didn't really know me because obviously I was still new to the area.
Right.
And then they saw the pictures after, and they're like, how come we didn't know this? You know, right. We did. We sent emails, messages. You guys just didn't RSVP because we were trying to treat it differently because, man, if it's not on Facebook or a Facebook event, people are like, well, I didn't see it. And so we tried to do something different, but it worked. We had about 100 people there, which was where we wanted to have it. And it worked out great, man. So,
and did you do it free? Was there any kind of a cover?
Yeah. We didn't even... Yeah, it was all free. Cool. Yeah, you just had to know us. We said, you know, bring a bottle of champagne because we were going to have a limited amount because we bought a couple cases. But after that, it was like, well, it was on you. But so, yeah, it was all free. We didn't charge anything. We asked for donations if people wanted to, but obviously nobody did that. But people helped clean up and things like that.
That's a nice donation.
I do remember one thing that Brandon, at this point, this is when the high C... Ghostbuster High C was
going on. Oh, the Ecto Cooler.
The Ecto Cooler.
I got real deep in the Ecto Cooler.
Yeah. And so but that was like such a hit because he gave me the plug. So this they were all sold out in Omaha in the Walmarts. HEB down in Texas, I got like 2 cases, ordered up, put those on chill, and people were drinking the Ecto Cooler and champagne, and they're like, oh my God, this is so crazy.
This is not a story about Jamal, but I have a quick Ecto Cooler story.
Yeah, the Ecto Cooler.
Slime related story.
It had expired, and I went to a Hy-Vee, the one on Cass, and I went in there, and they had like 8, like 12 packs of it, and it was expired by like 4 months. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. This is never coming out again.
What's the worst that's gonna happen? Yeah. Maybe it doesn't taste as Ecto-y. Same,
right. Yeah, I got probably like 56 cans of it for $1.50. They're like, they're expired. We can't sell it. How about a couple bucks or something? Yeah. And then I came home. Missy was pissed because we had a fucking closet full of Ecto Cooler. But I was just like, I'm drinking this. I don't care. This is my childhood in a form of a can. And it was in a can, and it was like slime green.
And it was the coolest shit ever. And it just threw back. And so that at the event, we had that. And like, I blew people's mind that knew about it. And then people were like, I've never even had a high C in a can. And so it was kind of some retro new age thing. So,
For the people that knew about it, they were like, they're still talking about that.
You know what I mean? Because it was like a big deal at that point in time. Like, people were like getting on Amazon and selling it for cases for like.
Isn't that crazy that a company like high C, which isn't like hurting for cash, doesn't just start making the shit again?
It was fucking amazing. Honestly, tasting it, it tasted just like it did as a kid. It was the most amazing.
That was the only sugary drink that my mom would let me buy.
Because
we were like a soda free household. But I was just like, Slimer's on the box.
Yeah.
These feet aren't moving. And all, you know, they have the six pack of the cartons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had those too.
Oh.
Yeah. They re-released the little cartons they had the whole shebang. It was awesome.
See, and that's what I said. So a lot of people didn't know about it, so that was another cool factor. So we were trying to keep so much detail into this event, and it worked out great, but yeah.
Do you have anything planned coming up? What do you want
to
do?
So, like, trying to do some pop-ups in the spring. I don't have anything set. We have some ideas set, but we haven't set dates, and that's usually I usually say, hey, I don't have anything set until I have a date, because then I'm like, when you have a date, then it's locked in. Mm-hmm. So we have some ideas, some concepts we're messing with between Lincoln and Omaha, so now it's just trying to work out details and, like I said, set figurable dates, but like a couple pop-ups, so like Spoon is another concept that I have around cereal and treats and sweets, and so that's just like a concept, so we want to try some Spoon events. Because that was the first one with that event. We had the cereal bar. So people walked in. They're like, you have cereal here. And I was like, yeah. And then about an hour or two in the park, people were like, oh, I'm kind of hungry. And next thing you know, you start hearing the cereal bar. You know, so that was another thing in the UK. Cereal bars have been popping up in New York City. Kith has one. But I saw that when I went to the UK, that you walked in. It was called Cereal Killer Cafe. And that was like East London. And you walk in and it was like cartoon heaven. Like, they had every cereal box you could think, because Western, they don't have those cereals on the shelf, so for them that was like a novelty. For me, I was like in heaven,
right?
But you can make whatever you want, so it's kind of that play on that concept.
Well,
so
also, like, and not just cereal, but like cereal with like brownies crumbled in it, or like, you know, like marshmallow, yeah. like a different spin on it. Or, like, putting it in ice cream and, like, blending up the cereal and the ice cream and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, big once a thing. You know, it's big over there. Kith, the sneaker shop in New York. Is there one in L.A.?
I mean, he's done some pop-ups in L.A. He has one in Miami.
But it's big. And their ice cream shop is almost just as big as... Or their cereal, like, place is almost as big as their sneaker store.
So, yeah, they do it, like, in the soft serve. So, kind of doing, you know, a play on that kind of concept. Want to do some of those this spring and just kind of test it out just to see if it's... You know, and but then also trying to do some clothing pop-ups as well, just because here and there we'll do a tee and just kind of tease some different things. But for me, it's more of just a way to play around with concepts and pop-ups, and just to see how I can use my, you know, the marketing skills, create a video for it and run some ads and do some different things like that. Just to, it's really like, it's my proven guy. You want to build a brand, I'm going to show you how I would do it, you know, with my own personal brand.
Or if you just want to shoot the shit about what you're doing, hang out for a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've got a couple of those, you know, in the spring and summer, you know, planned out. But, you know, so be on the lookout for some of those for sure.
And folks can find you at your website.
Yeah.
If they want to get involved.
Yeah, man. So, like, right now I got my website, JamalChin.com. It's just super simple. It's like, I don't have a ton of like, oh, this is what I'm doing. But like, I tell people, like, you know, all my social media is on there. So I always post anything I'm doing on social media. And then there's a place to just like, hey, if you have an idea or you just want to talk, you know, I'm still trying to learn about Omaha. So it's just an easy way to say, hey, you don't know me. I don't know you. Put a message in there. Hey, let's talk. Here's my email. I'm looking to coordinate and create and collab with anybody that's willing. There's some people that I definitely want to talk to. In the city that I look up to, like Dave Nelson at, you know, Secret Penguin. Shout out to Dave. But But, you know, so I'm just trying to figure out, you know, where I kind of fit in. And so put my hands on a bunch of different pots and
kind of go from there. You heard that, Omaha. Jamal has opened the door. Yeah. Go ahead and knock on it. Right. You know?
And then, so then right now, currently, you recently joined Spreetail.
Yeah. So, that has just been super exciting. So my regular job is just business development. Normally, business and sales and marketing. I've been in sales for a while and did some, you know, social media enthusiast kind of things with a couple startups and stuff. But my Spreetail, we are a startup e-commerce company based out of Lincoln. We're going to say it. We're trying to play with the Amazons and the Walmarts and eBays of the world. So super cool. We're growing like crazy. We're hiring like crazy in Lincoln. So we're like, you know, top 10 seller via, you know, Amazon, eBay and Walmart. Wow. So as much as we say, oh yeah, we're an e-commerce competitor, we're also partners with, these, you know,
monsters,
you want to call it. We got our own fulfillment centers. We ship, you know, we do free 2-day shipping. So it's technically vminnovations.com is the actual selling website, but Spreetail is what we're going to, our new e-commerce shopping experience is going to be. Hopefully 2019, 2020
okay.
is kind of what we're looking at. We're looking for talented developers, just talented people in general that want to learn about e-commerce, maybe don't have any idea about e-commerce, but you know, online shopping is only growing, and we're growing, and we're looking for just talented people in the Omaha area, and Nebraska in general, Lincoln. We've had people now move from Houston, KC, North Carolina, Boston, you know, so we're getting people because if you look in the market when it's talking about e-commerce focus, if they're really doing their research, they would know that we're one of the top companies in e-commerce right now is growing. So we're starting to make a little bit of noise.
Cool.
Here in the Silicon Prairie.
Man. Well, really quick before we wrap this up, I want to bring it back to cereal for just a second.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Captain Crunch.
Yep.
All right. You've got your variations.
I have an opinion on it for sure.
Yeah. You've got your original Captain Crunch.
Yep.
You got your Crunch Berries.
Yep.
And then the Peanut Butter Crunch. You gotta eat one Captain Crunch for the rest of your life.
Original, dude. Original.
I'm going original.
Dude, fuck the berry shit. I hate the berry shit.
Oh, God. I'm so on the other side. Oops, all berries.
I fucking hate the berries, man.
Dude, oops, all berries.
My only thing is that it does fuck up the roof of your mouth, no matter what, as good as it is. Even if you let it... Well, you're gonna let it soak a little bit, but that's not... what I'm about. I just love it.
I wasn't allowed to have Captain Crunch as a kid. So if I was staying at somebody's house and they had Captain Crunch, it was just like, oh, so good.
What about honeycombs? You guys ever have
fucking love honeycombs.
Honeycombs are great. Smacks. Love smacks. I got smacks upstairs right now.
Do you?
Dude, smacks.
I'll tell you, the beautiful things about being a military kid is you go to the BX and on the base, they would have everything name brand, top of the shelf. And my mom used to let me, like, that was my one little guilty sugar pleasure was cereal. And that's kind of where the cereal bar and all that kind of concept came. But I've done it all, man. Like, the gamut. And used to get two or three boxes and half here, quarter little this
cereal
here.
Cocktail.
Cereal cocktail from a long time ago. So,
Missy started buying those little boxes for the kids.
Yeah.
And I really don't eat cereal, but, like, every, like, blue moon or, like, you know, some night, I just, you know, get, like, you know, want to snack on something. I started mixing them a little bit.
Right,
it's awesome.
What about Kix? Kid tasted, mother approved.
I never really liked Kix.
Yeah, I had to because they didn't have any sugar.
Yeah, that's why.
Never ate Kix. Fucking Pops, like, sounded disgusting. Like,
corn Pops?
Oh, I used to eat corn Pops.
Gotta have my Pops.
Yeah,
commercials? What about the fucking Apple Jacks commercial? Why do you like it? It doesn't taste like apples. I don't know. We just do. What? Ad exec meeting, they're like, got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna compare it to the taste of apples, and the kids are gonna be like, we don't fucking know. It's just good.
Because you know why? Your mom always says, eat an apple on your teacher's desk. It tastes just like an apple.
Okay, here's another one. I've thought about this a little bit. All right, what was the cereal? It was called Nut and Honey.
Yeah.
You remember these commercials? Yeah. And so, like, a guy's like, Nut and Honey. Now that you say what's going on in there? Nothing, honey. Like,
well, now that you said it, it's put a whole other perspective on it.
It's, yeah, right. You can see why they don't use those ads anymore, yeah. And that doesn't exist. Yeah. But
I used to remember what that one.
Again. Somebody they paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for
millions.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Nothing, honey. Yeah. Oh my god.
Pops. And then thrown back to the high C Ecto Cooler shit too, but there's always like those bunk ass cereals that were based off of like a movie or cartoon, but they were like made from the company that made dog food.
Right.
And it's just like, it's the same fucking company that makes my dog's food, and then I'm gonna eat the cereal? Like, this is not.
Probably has a lot of the same shit in it too, really.
And there's blogs, as I was doing the research for Spoon and that, there's blogs and people that review that. So they rip through the last Superman and Batman like combo cereal. They're like, this is terrible. But it flew off the shelves as a collector's item. But sure. People that actually ate it were like, this is not good.
Do people still eat Wheaties? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, yeah.
Is that still a thing?
I never fucking eat Wheaties.
I mean, I didn't really eat them, but still a thing. If you like Olympics coming up, there'll be all the people on the Olympians will be on the cover still. Okay. Yeah, so all Wheaties are still a thing, yeah.
We still get cereal for the kids and no fucking toys. It's done.
Bullshit.
There is some.
No, I'm not saying that is bullshit. I'm saying that's bullshit. They should keep toys in the cereal.
And some of them have some, but it's...
Is it because kids were choking on toys?
I don't know. I mean,
some of that stuff was.
Is that the only reason? I mean, why would they call the toys that? Is it because, like, the idiot kid that wasn't buying it for the toy? Because, let's face it, I bought some bunk-ass cereal to get the toy.
Yeah, what was inside.
And
I got, like, a Ninja Turtle, like, cereal bowl that was, like, saran-wrapped on the back of the box. I remember that. Like, oh, there's cool shit.
Yeah.
I got a Batman piggy bank that came on the back of the cereal box.
Dude!
Cool shit. And now it's, like... Here's like $5 off this like bunk ass thing. You gotta go
collect these points. So you get a fucking cereal T-shirt. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What are you gonna say? Are there still some toys?
No, I mean, I know there's some like there's some that come with toys. Just because every time I peruse, I don't eat a cereal as much as I used to or would like to, but I still peruse and see that there's the oh, there's something you inside. Dabble. Yeah. Or like if there's a movie coming up, Disney always finds its way to put itself somewhere and. You know, some of the cereal, because they had, like, frozen cereal and all that kind of stuff.
Man, we should look into this. Yeah. What happened? Dude, somebody choked on a fucking Superman, and they're like, no more!
No more plastic toys!
It's over!
I mean, the amount of money they spent on the toys, I mean, it's insane.
And they were, like, collector's items. Like, there would be, like, a series of toys you could get.
It's wild. Oh,
man.
Yeah, it was... So, it walk into that place in the UK, it was crazy, because that's what it was. It was... nostalgic. It had
Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, literally that. Yeah. And that's what you walked into. And they literally downstairs had the TVs, bunk beds of what you ate in. Like, they literally tried to make it Saturday mornings in a shop. And it's one of the greatest things. And they have people from all over the world that come just because, like I said, us enthusiasts or people that just, those 90s.
Children of the 80s, 90s. Right. Where brains were washed. And so, now that I'm thinking about it, like all these cereal commercials, like Cookie Crisp.
Yeah. I can't remember that shit? It's like literally like verbatim. Like,
Cookie Crisp. Yeah, right?
Yeah, what the fuck? You're like remembering them to a T.
I know.
Like, it worked. That's what they wanted. Absolutely. You know,
I know. I had three channels later, growing up. So like I watched the same commercials a lot. There was no change in the station. But how the fuck did they get away with that? It was chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. Like, here you go, sonny boy.
Literally.
here's a bowl of chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. Go to school. Don't crash. Oh, man.
Also, Saturday morning cartoons are not a thing.
Yeah, that is really not a thing. So through that process, too, I found that out. And I thought that was probably the most... The most mind-blowing thing is that there's literally no Saturday morning cartoons. Now it's like they put that little information sign in the corner that's supposed to be like educational, and there's like the guy, you know, Jeff Corwin and the zoo and stuff. There's that type of stuff on TV now for Saturday mornings. And
bunk.
No cartoons.
Saved by the Bell? Even though when the cartoons were over, like still stayed around.
Yeah, you had like a little bit of adult stuff, you know?
Yeah. When you were 12. Stuff. You know? Yeah. And you're just like, no, I'm waiting around for Saved by the Bell.
I'm waiting for 9. Yeah. I'm sleeping in a little bit. Because
Jesse's fine.
Yeah.
Kelly Kapowski.
Right? Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah.
You know what's so weird? I don't like Jimmy Fallon. But he did a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Little disclaimer.
Yeah, he's all
right. But he did a thing with the Saved by the Bell reunion, and Screech wasn't invited because he just got out of the pen. I watched a video of his reaction, and he was like, that really hurt me. And I didn't know what was going down. I'm sitting around with my girlfriend watching. It's on YouTube, people. Look it up. It's, if you're, you know, feeling frisky. But, yeah, and Screech was really upset. And then he went into this whole interview about how he could never escape the character of Screech. And I was like, I bet your ass escaped it when you were stabbing that guy in the bar. Nobody thought you were the nerdy high school kid and you were shoving a knife in. Right. Yeah. I don't know. I digress. Yeah, well, Jamal, thank you for being on the show, man.
Yeah,
kick-ass dude. The mic is yours. Anything you want to plug, go for it.
No, I just want to say, man, I appreciate being, you know, given a platform to be able to, you know, kind of chat about Omaha, even though I'm a transplant and haven't been here much that long, but I'm excited, you know, for opportunities here. I'm excited to meet people and continue and going to shows and different things like that. So, yeah, I appreciate you guys. I'm a fan of the show, and I think Omaha Talks is going to be really something that's to be reckoned with here in the future for sure.
Also, thanks, Jamal, Missy, and I are working on a little something.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh,
so
oh.
Be on the lookout. We won't talk much now. You guys wait and see. But
stay tuned to Omaha Talks.
We're working on a few things. So.
Yeah, as well, yeah. Always trying to stay busy, man. A lot of opportunities out there for sure. So
hell yeah.
But yeah, JamalChin.com. WeekendLeaders.com, WKNDLDRS.com, WeekendLeaders. Yeah, man, that's about it. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening, Omaha Talkers. This concludes episode 7. Check out Jamal's websites and keep listening. Thank you.